Hi, everybody. My name is Joe Lawson. I'm the chair of Region 5. There's a couple ways to look at this, like I'm last and the dregs at the bottom of the barrel. Maybe a cleanup matter. Or even worse than that, I'm the only thing that's between you and lunch. So do you want me to share my recovery or sit down so we can get to the food? My job this morning is to speak to you about recovery. It's your job to listen. If you get done before I do, I just close your eyes, put your chin on your chest, and I'll understand. I am also, I could shorten this up a little bit. Take about 2 minutes of Karen's story, the middle 3 minutes of her story, except about food and sex. That don't mix. Her story, the first minute of hers, then that's my story. You ever sat in the meeting and you think, you do the reading and you think, she said what I was going to say, that person. That's a reason to speak first, if they say, well, they've told my story this morning. I was Mr. Yo-Yo Man. I have been in OA for 17 years. I've been maintaining a 50-pound weight loss for 15 years. The first years, anybody who's ever played with a yo-yo knows how long it stays down, about that long, and it starts right back up, and that's what I did, over and over and over. My doctor told me, he said, I don't care if you go to 250 or 170, either one of those is okay, but every time I weigh you, you're 70 pounds different from what you were last time, and you're killing yourself. Choose one of those and stay there, but this is insane. And it didn't sink in. I won't go through the story about how I got here. Trust me, I am a compulsive overeater. I did want to tell one story. Sometimes we think, well, my compulsive eating doesn't affect my marriage like alcoholics have that problem. I heard a lady say that one night. My second wife was a normie. I explained to her about the food. Well, I know that. It's just she'd get a candy bar and she'd take about 2 bites and fold it closed and put it in the drawer. She might not think about it for 2, 3, 4 days and go back to have 2 more bites and then all that and lay back in the drawer. And the package of 6 that it came in, that's what I thought a serving was. So I knew that our thoughts were different. Well, she was concerned about my weight, so she always collected whatever the latest new diet was, and bless her heart, she did indeed try to help me with food. She cooked special food, special soup that didn't have anything in it but tomatoes and celery and no calories. And the latest one that she had come up with, and she cooked a bunch of stuff, labeled it, put it in the drawers, and I was to take one of these every night to work. And after a couple of weeks, she said, how's it going? And did you say it's going away last night? I said, yeah, actually, I gained a couple pounds. I think it's that allergy medicine that the doctor gave me. It's making me hold water, and something is the matter. I don't know what it is, but it'll be better soon. I worked third. I went to bed. She was leaving for work. I heard her leave. I heard the kids leave. And I went into the utility room, which was right off the bedroom, and took the lid off the water softener. That's where my stash was, on top of the salt. Nobody ever got in the water softener but me, so that's where my stash was. Everybody's gone from the house, took the lid off. I don't need lights. Because I know what's in there. I know where it's at. I'm up to my elbow in salty, crunchy things when the door to the bedroom opened. I had all blacked out because I worked third shift. Blaze of sunlight comes across the room, up across my legs, up to about my shoulder. So I froze. My wife's arm snaked in, and she got the checkbook that she needed off the desk right there by the door. And she started, the arm started to leave, and I'm thinking, whew, that was close. But the door didn't go all the way shut. It opened back up, and the light came back up across me, and we looked at each other in the eye, and she didn't say anything. And I didn't say anything. And she closed the door and left. And we were married 2 more years. And we never talked about it. Never discussed it. It affects your relationships. My next month of life was used up in what am I going to say to justify that. I just told her that stuff she fixed me is not working. I came here to lose weight. That's why I came here. You all wouldn't give me the diet plan. I chased around to several different meetings, couldn't get the diet plan, so I had to keep coming back. But I did hear HI, is an acronym we picked up World Service, hope and identification. Even though it was a room full of pretty young ladies, I heard hope. And even though I couldn't identify with them physically, I could identify with their thoughts about food. And for the first time in my life, I knew I wasn't alone. And for the long time, I thought I was alone. So I kept coming back. The reason I'm up here today is because I'm one of those people that is a slow learner, started slow. For 2 years I spent working the fellowship, working the meetings, and doing service, and getting a sponsor, and worked the steps. I was so excited about the intellectual information that I got out of our literature, which is wonderful. That I mailed books to all my relatives, which is an absolute foolish thing to do, but it doesn't serve any purpose. But I kept coming back. It was the only good thing I did during that first 2 years. I was blessed with honeymoon absence, so the weight started to go away, and I thought, oh my God, I found the answer. Well, guess what? If you do not get a sponsor and work the steps with the sponsor, long-term recovery is not going to happen. So when the food crept back in, then and only then, did I get to my bottom where I was scared enough, hurt enough, mad enough to actually entertain the idea of, I'm a guy sharing insights into my deepest parts with another guy. That's not something guys do. Let me go to the bathroom together and they chit-chat and talk, share things. That's not what guys do. They're a little bit different. So I got a sponsor, started working the steps. Well, even then, agonizingly through the first year of working the steps, I was still in the food, and it was killing me. It was absolutely terrifying to me. When I finally got abstinence, I'm one of the lucky people, January the 12th, 1992. It's kind of a burning bush for me. I won't bore you with that story. But even after that, they asked me to share my story. That was the first service that I actually gave back, and I was terrified. I'm not a public speaker. I was terrified. I wrote it all out, and I was shaking so bad that I couldn't read what was written on the paper. So HP spoke. 1997, they asked me to speak at a convention, and they tricked me. They didn't tell me it was going to be 280 people in the room. Four chandeliers about the size of this room, and that they would all be looking frontwards, and I mean, I was absolutely terrified. My wife had come home at 5:30, and she said, "You're not dressed, you're not bathed, you haven't shaved." I said, "Well, I've got time yet. It's only 5:30. What time? 5:30, and we have to be there at 7:30, and it's an hour drive." I had just read what I had written, and I had 20 minutes to talk, and it timed out to 48 minutes. So what I did was tore out about every other page, didn't look at it at all, and HP was able to say something. But the point I wanted to make today, to move right on past that, is to the service thing. Everybody's kind of touched on service. I'm not here because I ran up front and said, "Ooh, the chair looks like the best spot in this room, and I would like to be the chair." I sat in the back, first time I went to region, first time I went to intergroup. First time I went to intergroup, there were 12 ladies, one idea, three solutions, four, four, and four, and it even got a little catty before the hour was over. And I am a people pleaser, and I wanted to be any place in the world except in that room. So I didn't go back. 2 or 3 years later, I'm sponsoring people. I told the sponsee, "We don't have an intergroup rep at this meeting. You got to go. And it's good for you. Service is slimming. Go get us meeting lists and flyers for the events in our areas." He did. He brought them back. And after about 6 months, he said, with a smirk on his face, he said, "You know what they told me downtown? They said, Joe Lawson, he's your sponsor. We have never seen him down here. You're going to let him make you come, and you're not going to bring him with you?" So I went to intergroup to shut up the little blabbermouth. But it was a little different. 5 years later, I'm proud to say that Central Indian Group, there are 5 officers. When I got there, it took me 7 weeks to find my first guy. And that was his first meeting. That made me the veteran. In 5 years after I started going to intergroup, all 5 officers were males. And we told that to everybody, to where there are not any males right now. They kind of reared back and shut that business down. The guys are not coming on. That's not going to happen. That's how I got the intergroup. Needed officers. Why don't you be a secretary? Why don't you be vice chair? Same story. Why don't you chair the retreat in the spring? 50 people, same place we always use. It's easy. You can do it. Well, I imposed my formidable will on that retreat. They say that they had a reasonably good time, but I was absolutely miserable because the first speaker on the first night, I allotted them 20 minutes, and she went 26 minutes. Even after I waved a little thing at her, it all went downhill after that. Nobody volunteered to do it the next year, so I took it on again, a little older and a little wiser, thanks to you guys. And that year, it came together, just kind of tip it over the edge, start it all in motion, and let the weekend transpire, sit in the back of the room and actually pick up some recovery. The situation had gone on. When I ran for chair, the chair who had been our chair for 2 years was running again. She'd done a nice job. Same speech. We need to have choices. Let's have choices. Put your name in the hat so that we can have choices. She's doing a great job. I missed it. Everybody liked her. It'll be okay. She pulled her name out of the hat 2 weeks before the elections. So I got elected to chair by default. And the first time I went to region, we had a guy that was just impeccable in his knowledge of Robert's rules, in his knowledge of how the Region of Five Assembly came together, in his knowledge of the structure of our Region of Five bylaws. He had it all at the tip of his tongue. It was so concise. It was so, not quite as concise as yesterday's was, but we moved along pretty promptly, and it was all in good order, and there weren't any disagreements or long carrying on, dragging out boring conversations. It was good. But I never thought, man, I would like to do that. I thought that there's one place where I'll never, ever, ever spend any time because I can't do that. I'm not enough. And besides that, I don't want to. I'm one of those people, I like to say, I don't know what you call it in psychotherapy terms, but when I come in a room, I have two equal emotions. I'm scared to death you won't notice me, and I'm terrified you will. Now you can walk around and bang off a lot of walls with a couple of those thoughts going on in your mind. That's some of the noise in your head that we talk about. I didn't want to be the region chair. That, the chair, the intergroup chair, the Region 5 convention chair that they imposed on me, all I can say to you that each and every one of these progressions of service that have been thrust upon me by my higher power has brought with it, if I had to invest 100 hours in it, it brought me 1,000 times rewards back, more than what I put into it. Did I think, well, I would like to be away from my wife and my home, my family, and all the things I've got going on back home this weekend? Well, no, that's not exactly what I wanted, but it's been a fantastic weekend. I love the ocean. I love the region chairs committee. This is the most fun-filled, good-to-be-around group that I've ever been associated with. But the first time I walked in, 4 years ago, I walked into the region chairs committee, first time, and I sat down and I thought the same old, they know what's going on. They've got their act together. They have a clue. I don't. Why am I here? They will laugh at me. They'll ignore me. They'll run me out of the room. If they really knew me, they wouldn't even let me be in the room, much less let me speak. But they love you until you can love yourself. That's what we all do in each of these different levels of service that we go to. I began to work on a recent 4-step. I absolutely impressed that. I came up with very few resentments. You guys taught me how to deal with them. But the fear list didn't go quite so handily. I have many, many of those fears. I like what somebody said earlier, that fears is generally your disease speaking. You dare not go there. You'll be in that same spot. They'll know you won't. They'll figure out you don't know. The service has been the most rewarding thing. That far beyond my imagination. When I walked that door the first time, if I'd been allowed to say, you are the 100 millionth customer to OA, God's here, say your prayer of what you'd like, and it'll be granted to you. I would have said, take your gut. I'll be fine. I couldn't have imagined. Do not limit your higher power with your finite self-will. Let God do with you what He would like to do with you. Let Him build from you what He would like you to be. All of us have the capacity to be more than we allow ourselves to be if we stay in God's way. I would like to close with this lunatic up here set the timer on microwave mode, and she gave me about 6 minutes. Would everyone in this room who believes that you should get a sponsor and work the steps with that sponsor, please stand up. Say it with me. Get a sponsor. Work the steps with your sponsor. Say it again. Get a sponsor. Work the steps with your sponsor. You can go home and say, I heard it 1,000 times this weekend. It must be a good idea.
Thank you.